The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
What? Only four of us?
There's only four of us. Will is at a meeting tonight.
And
Farron's been sick. She's just been congested. We took her to the doctor today to make sure. And they went ahead and did her 4-month checkup while we were there. It was a week early.
But, okay.
She's fine.
Okay.
But yeah, she's just very congested. She is in the 1 percentile for BMI. She's just a very long, skinny baby.
Okay.
But healthy.
Skinny baby. Yeah. Not sickeny.
No, not sickened.
Okay.
But.
Well, Melissa and I just got back from our Caribbean cruise, but we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. So you're going to have to listen to the whole thing. Or you can fast forward to the end. No, don't do that. But we want to talk a little bit about what we've been playing. But we've got to play one game tonight from Renegade Game Studios called Hex Roller.
That one was interesting. It's another roll and write. There's a lot of those out right now. And this one, you have a hex-based grid with 6 sections around it and then 1 in the center. And you roll several dice. As they're like 8?
3, 6, 9? I think there might be 9 dice.
And the dice are numbered 3 through 8 on each die.
3 through 8. That was interesting.
Yeah. So it changes up the point values just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you allocate, you group them by what number is rolled, and then you choose a group and then fill those numbers in, and then you choose a second group and fill those numbers in.
It has to be a different group.
Different group, yes. And
so 4 threes are rolled, you'd have to write those 4 threes on your hex board.
Mm-hmm. And there's rules about where you're allowed to place them and how much each scores and... Yeah, so I had some interesting...
It's all about the endgame scoring, though.
Yes,
it is. Yeah, it was a really quick game. I know that there's 2 different versions, and one of them has 1 more round, and we played the shorter version, but...
Yeah, it was only 6 rounds, right. Which I guess Dongjun Clever is only 6.
The other side has 7 rounds. What?
It felt a lot quicker than Gongshan Clever to me.
I think. It was definitely
because
quicker.
You're not doing all those comboing and scoring in between rolls.
Yes, and everybody plays at the same time. Nobody has a turn. Everybody
I like that the about deck. The game. Definitely, we should. We'll definitely get a video out for it sometime in the future. But it was cool. The box basically just has a big pad of the different boards and or the different hex boards and dice.
Yeah, and there's sheets. They're tear-off sheets.
Yeah, tear-off sheets, but, I mean, there's no pencils supplied or anything, so supply your own pencils.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, I do have a confession to make.
I
am very addicted to Gongshan Clever and Doppelzo Clever.
When Welcome 2 came out, I said, Sarah, you should play Gongshan Clever, but she was so enamored with Welcome 2 at the time that she's like, no. But then... We actually got Gongshan Clever right in the mail.
Yeah, I did, and I've played that one a few times. And then I've only played the online version. I didn't put the app on my phone. Supposed to be working on some stuff, and Wilkin, what are you doing? I'm researching for our Gongshan Clever review because I'm playing Doppler. He was like, "What? How long have you been playing this?"
Mm-hmm.
Way too long.
It's
way
addicting.
Too long.
When I finally reached over 300 points on Gongshan Clever, I decided I had enough. But then there's another way of playing Gongshan Clever. Have you heard about this?
Oh, I have not.
So try to get the lowest score you can.
Oh.
So try it once and see if you can get below 9. It's really
hard.
Below 9. See if you can do
it. Wow.
It's really hard. So.
Oh, so I guess you would just pick one high die that actually you can't place on your board. Is that what happens?
Yeah, you're trying to not place dice.
Interesting. So, I'm going to have to do that.
Sorry.
Meeting the addiction.
A new addiction. Uh-oh.
But yeah, we got to play that tonight. Melissa, actually, no, it was just me. I was over at a friend's house, and I was able to play Shakespeare. And that is an older game. Actually, I think it might have come out in like 2016, 2017. But yeah, it's interesting with it's a card game with how back up a little bit. You're basically choosing different cards that are basically your players in your acts, and you're trying to build your stage, and you're trying to get different costuming for your actors and things like that. So trying to beat the opponents. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's thematic in some ways, but not in other ways. So you can make it thematic. Any other games we played?
Well, I played Fire in the Library weeks ago.
Yeah, I played that with you.
With some friends of ours who played the game when we were previewing it before it was on Kickstarter.
Like a year ago.
And they really enjoyed it, so they actually pledged for the game on Kickstarter, and it just came in recently. So Fire in the Library is a push-your-luck game where you are pulling cubes out of a bag, and they represent books in a library that is on fire.
Fire in the Library!
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And some of the cubes are red, and they represent fire, and if you pull too many of those, then you basically lose what you have been doing that turn and burn up books, and you don't get points, and that's usually what happens to me
in
that game.
Melissa didn't say it. Melissa's not good at this game at all. Like, the red cubes, she could feel those red cubes, and you don't want red cubes.
I think it's because I usually play red, so...
It likes you.
I'm just attracted to red, and red is attracted to me, so instead of pulling out the other nicely colored cubes... My hand
just
knows which ones are red.
Melissa just burns down the library quickly.
No,
which is terrible because I love books.
I know she does.
Don't burn them down.
I don't know what it was, but like there'd be like 17 red cubes in the bag, and I only had one space left. I just pull my hand in, and I was like, I'll just get a white cube, and just like boom. I didn't win though. Alan won by just a few points. He pulled it out at the end.
Yeah, and it was looking really, really bleak for me. I had like 5 points and everyone else is up at like 40 or 50, but I had a really good last turn because it was basically
all or nothing
because I was so far down. I didn't win, but I came up to a respectable score.
A respectable last place?
Yes.
Great. Well, let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about 7 games coming to Kickstarter the week of March 18th, 2019. Start us off, Kevin.
So, Lay Waste Games has done a game that you might be familiar with called Dragoon, and they launched another Kickstarter just probably a month or two ago. It was that metal game. Does that sound, remember that?
Yes.
It had different metal components to it. This one, though, is their next Kickstarter that's coming this week, and it is called Life Siphon. It's a weird name. Like, it's a different, like, title. Like, I didn't know what, like, when sometimes when you hear a title of a board game, you're like, oh, that's going to be about this, or, you know, it's usually, you can connect it in your mind somehow, but Life Siphon is a combat game. Basically, everyone is in charge of different, like, what would you say, Melissa? They're different, like,
units?
Units, but one's, like, I forget what they're, like, a goblin or little things. They're metal, and they're pretty cool looking, but when you attack, you always attack the player to your left.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm attacking Melissa all the time, and Melissa then would always be attacking Ryan, and Ryan would always be attacking Sarah, but then Sarah's always attacking me. And the way that you're getting these units onto the board are you have actions and things like that. Basically, you're moving them up into the battleground, and the board is shaped into different quadrants that you control one quadrant. You're moving them up into the battleground. You're moving them through rivers. There's ways to get more life to your units. But basically, the first person that can basically destroy the player to their left wins the game. So it's all about trying to... and the different units move different ways, so a certain one unit might really hurt you and siphon off your life as you move them. Another one might help you, so but yeah, they might move slower or something like that.
Yeah, and each player has access to all three units.
Mm-hmm. But so they get to decide what they want to put in their right. quadrant.
And then there are cards that you're playing with, mm-hmm. and the cards are going to give you extra actions or protect you or make your attacks more powerful. And there are even ones where you may want to help other people.
So they don't die. Right.
Right.
I think Alan or Karen was going to do that to help Alan so that I didn't kill Alan. So yeah. That was interesting. But that is Life Siphon from Lay Waste Games coming March 18th. Melissa.
On March 19th, Black Forest Games is bringing Crave to Kickstarter. This is a deck-building game. It reminds me a little bit of Star Realms or Hero Realms. It says 2 to 6 players, but really only it's 2 players per set.
Correct.
So if you wanted to play more than 2, you'd have to buy multiple sets. And there are 2 sides. There are the... Hunters and the vampires, and so you would play one of those sides. Each person has their own starting deck, which is asymmetric.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm playing the vampire hunters, my starting deck is different than Kevin's would be playing the vampires. And we've actually played this game, so got a little bit of a feel for it. As you're building your deck, kind of like Star Realms, there is a common pool of cards you can buy from. But interestingly, each player also has a private
pool
of cards. So
that sort of like helps like that faction out a little bit
right.
more.
Mm-hmm. And that private pool is going to be from my personal faction,
yeah.
The vampire hunters, and then the one in the common pool has a lot of other factions. There are werewolves and
groupies.
Yes, the poor groupies.
And dwarves and elves and things like that.
Yeah, they're part of the enchanted race. There's even kind of interesting, there are cards that are different poisonous plants like hemlock and garlic, mm-hmm. that when you buy one of those cards, you actually put it in the other player's deck.
Yeah.
And when they draw it, it hurts
it
them.
It does, yeah.
So the vampire hunters are putting garlic into the vampire's
nice.
Deck.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like the one thing that also is, I think, in the main public pool is the items.
Yes.
That you can acquire and then actually put them on to different players or different...
Right. I was playing as the vampire hunters and had like a flamethrower, but I could only... equip it to a person.
Right.
So I had to have a person out to put the flamethrower on.
I like that part. But it definitely reminded me of Star Realms, like you said.
Right, because some of the people that you put out are like those outposts or
they can block, or they can take the damage.
Yeah.
A little difference are there's 2 types of what they call patrols. One is basically the person has to hit. The other one, it's up to the player to decide if they want to or not.
And I think Star Realms
I think Star Realms does it.
Kind of like that.
But it's, I think iconography wise, I think it's a little easier than Star Realms. I can look across the table and I can say, oh, that's a stop sign.
Yes.
I know that I have to hit that before I can actually hit the life of the other player. And just like Star Realms, you're basically trying to deplete the other person's life to zero before they do your own.
So. Yeah. So I thought it was an interesting take on that head-to-head deck building type game. The art was good. I thought the illustrations of the different people and different
mm-hmm.
monsters
and really
beings
good.
Were
mm-hmm.
good.
Oh, by the way, I'll do a preview video of Crave and Life Siphon. Not on the same video. Two different videos.
Yes. So you can, if you want to see what we're talking about, then check out the YouTube channel and we'll have some preview videos. Ryan, what are you looking at?
Coming March 19th from Board and Dice is Exodus Chronicles. This is a reprint of a game that came out in 2012 called Exodus Proxima Centauri, and its two expansions are also included in this, Edge of Extinction and Event Horizon. And they've just looked at this game and its expansions and tried to re-implement the rules, redesign things so that it's streamlined and just generally enhanced and improved. The original game was one of these classic space opera type games, mm-hmm. where there's, an economy part where you're like harvesting resources and then you're building stuff. There's a tech tree that you can research on. There's fighting other people and the combat there. And then there's also like a political element to it. So just multiple ways to advance your civilization and try to be the best of one of these six human factions. I believe they all have asymmetrical player powers. Oh, cool. So you have to choose which one you want to be and then excel at it.
So that's Board and Dice, right?
Yes, Board and Dice.
Which they just had a huge hit last year called Teotihuacan. So, and that was a sort of a spiritual successor to Zolkin in some ways. Cool. But it was actually through NSKN, and NSKN sort of like merged with Board and Dice, if you've heard about that. So
I do like Zolkin. I just played that last weekend.
Okay.
With
I did. I heard about that.
Brother-in-law.
I heard about that. Well, we were riding back from our cruise, which we'll talk about later in the episode.
But yes, so March 19th from Board and Dice, Exodus Chronicles, check it out. Sarah, what do you got?
Coming Monday, March 18th, is Complexity. This is from Big Kid Games, from designer Jay Comer and Senpun Lin. And the art is by Josh Capel and Quanche Moria.
Oh, I do see that. Yeah.
Yeah. The artwork's really cool. It's got a very fun, colorful vibe to this. So in the game, there is a catastrophe about to happen in the galaxy, and you're trying to relocate several different alien races to save them. And so you are given the task to try and build a city that meets all of their needs. So everyone will be working on their own city, trying to make the best plans to incorporate all of these different species. It's a tile placement game, so you'll be adding tiles, and then there'll be ways to upgrade them to add complexes for the aliens to come live. So this one looks very interesting. It looks like it's got fun components, and the card art is really great. Jason had this one at Tantrum Con, and I was really sad I did not get a chance to try it out. It was on my list of games to play while I was there.
And he actually had the prototype delivered, mailed to him
at the con.
Yes. That was cool.
Yeah, I did see several people getting to try this one out. So if you're interested in something like this, it's Complex City 2. It's one word, but it's Complex City. Complexity from Big Kid Games, coming March 18th. Kevin.
Well, I'm going to cheat and put two games into my one here.
What?
I know. I'm sorry. One is because I'm not really going to talk about them too much. One is, I was going to make fun of Will for saying this. Gray Fox Games is bringing
Tsukuyomi. Yeah, I said it wrong just because Will would.
Tsukuyomi.
It starts with a T.
Yes. Anyway, this was actually on Kickstarter a while back from a company, and I think they are basically working with Gray Fox now to sort of bring it to the American market, which is cool, with some extra stuff. And if you want to learn more about that, you can listen to last week's episode where we had Alex from Gray Fox Games on the show. He has a nice voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was very pleasing to listen to, so if you just listen to our episode for that, that'd be great. And then the other game I wanted to talk about real quick that's also launching this week is Sea Rovers. And this is actually coming back. This was back 2006, I think it was, but they're coming back with a reprint and bring some new stuff as well to the Kickstarter on March 19th. So you can check out Sea Rovers, a nice pirate-themed game as well. So, Melissa. No. Back to Ryan.
Coming from, I believe it's called SB Games, March 19th, Viking Jarl, the relaunch. So it's been a while since they came to Kickstarter the first time, and I believe we did talk about it then.
Yeah.
We actually, I believe, did a preview video.
Yeah, you and Katie did.
Yeah. So Katie and I have played it. The game was a lot of fun, but it did need some polishing, so I think they've done that polishing, and now it's coming back to Kickstarter. This game is all about being Vikings, but not just the raiding Vikings. You're also going out and building settlements in, like, Iceland, or trading with mainland Europe, or, of course, pillaging major cities. And you can get points from that. And the goal is to bring back as many points as possible to Scandinavia as quickly as possible. And I believe the first person to bring back so many points to your base.
Yeah, I remember playing this about a year ago.
I might be wrong because it's been about a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun.
I think you're right.
It's come back March 19th. Check out the relaunch. See what they've done different to make it better. So, Sarah, what else do you got?
Also coming March 19th is Nerd Words Science Edition, and this is from Genius Games. It's from designers John Covey and Eric Slosson, and this is a fun science party game for 2 to 12 players. And in the game, each team will have someone be the person giving clues. They will choose a science term on one of their cards, and they will have to write a clue down to get their team to try and guess the word, although the other team will also be guessing. And they must use a clue that uses one of the letters in the word. So, for example, if your clue was, or your word was, say, boiling point, this is one that we had, you might give a clue like temperature, because T is in the word's boiling point. And you can bet against each other and how well you think you're going to do. And if you're correct, you get more points. And
well, there are things you can't say. Like, you couldn't say 100 degrees Celsius.
No, you have one word clues that you give, and you only...
I missed that.
Yeah, the clue that you give must use a letter from the... must start with a letter from the word, and then you're allowed four clues, and then that final clue can start with the same... has to start with the same letter, so I would... for boiling point, I would have to have a clue that started with B.
Like...
burn.
Yeah, bubble.
Or... boil, or...
well, you can say boil because of boiling.
Oh, yeah, boiling point. You're correct.
Okay,
yeah.
So for our listeners here, we're going to do one real quick. Ready? This is a one word. And your clue is... swallow.
You have to think of a science term.
That's one, just a one word science term that has to do with swallow. And in the word, then, has the letter S, because I started the word with...
But it's not the starting letter.
But it's not the starting letter. Correct.
Oh, it's not the starting
letter. Ryan...
I thought it was. So no. Now, I don't know.
What do you think? Think of swallow.
And it could be any science thing.
Any science thing.
It that has to do with swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Esophagus.
Yes!
Yes! Yes! Wow.
That is the one.
Yeah, so you will need to... harness your inner Sheldon to come up with these.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The words weren't like crazy difficult science terms
some
that
of
I'd
them
never
were.
Heard of.
There was like two or three.
I've heard of, I think, most of them.
Okay.
Some of them, like, oh yeah, I remember studying that in science.
I don't think I would remember them, but I don't think if I was listening or seeing some of the clues, I don't think I would ever think of them. Does that make sense? Like, I see them on a paper, it's like, oh, that looks familiar, but I don't think I would, like, recall something from 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, like, for example, one of them tonight was concentration, meaning the concentration of
but you could come up with that
solution.
Right. But think
but you might think Yes, you might think of the thinking concentration.
Cool, that's cool. So, yeah, that works.
Yeah, so we had some fun playing this one tonight.
And I don't know if you said this or not, but you're basically betting, like, how many points, like, you think...
You'll get the bonus, the points that you bet.
That's right.
You will gain...
If you get it right.
If you get it right. If you are wrong, you lose those points.
And I think it's the first person to, like, so many points, or something like the first team to so many points.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm bad at betting games.
This one, I think we had a fun time playing it. If you are in education, this is an excellent game to pick up because you could use this in so many different ways in a classroom. It's a fun way to make learning fun.
Learning fun.
Yes.
Science, at least.
Science. Well, yes. Specifically science in this one. I don't know if they'll be coming out with more versions that will have other themes to it. So,
let's jump into our house guest segment with Cole Worley from Leader Games.
Hey!
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sarah and I are here and looking forward to our this next expansion to Root. Tell us a little bit about Root first before we get into the expansion. Cool.
Sure. So Root is an asymmetric strategy game. And sometimes when people say that, they mean like each faction is like a little different. One person might be good at fighting, another person's good at building. In Root, it's really asymmetric. So one player is sort of managing a kingdom and then a rebellion might break out. And that revolt is another player playing by kind of a different set of rules. So it doesn't have like any prescripted narrative. Almost everything is emergent. And it's very, very interactive.
So it started with four different factions. And I believe there was two more factions added on. Was that during the first Kickstarter campaign?
Yeah. So we originally had imagined the game as a four-position asymmetric game. And then when the campaign really took off, Patrick kind of looked at me and said, okay, where do you think this design might go? And so we sort of spent a few days brainstorming and then came up with two additional factions. One of them is sort of like a mad scientist cult, you know, Shades of Cthulhu, but they play with the discard pile. So basically all the cards in the game represent the different creatures of the woodland, and the cult sort of plays with the creatures that everyone else is throwing away. And then the other player is a company of otters that sell services to the other players in the game.
That's cool.
Okay, so the new expansion adds some additional characters. Can you tell us about those?
Yep, we've got two new factions. The Corvid Conspiracy, which is sort of like a deep state threat. They infiltrate the hands of the other players and sort of hold them ransom. And then you're trying to sort of give up these bad cards in your hand. But when you do, depending on how many you give up, horrible things happen to you. So you sort of feel like you've been partially taken over by them when you play them. And then the other one is the Great Underground Duchy, which is another big faction. They have a lot of pieces and they build buildings, but they're moles that are, they can tunnel through the map. And they're sort of like a mix between the cats and the birds in the first game. So they're like one part policing and one part kind of programming action management like the birds. And I think they're going to really mix things up because you can sub out. Basically, these two factions, like, they just completely blow it open. You can multiply out the combinations and it gets really absurd.
So this was originally designed, Root, the base game, was your design. Is that correct?
That's right. So Patrick, I've been working on accessible strategy game for a while. And then when I started working at Leader Games, Patrick gave me this concept and said, you know, if you have a design that can kind of work in this space, I want to do a radically asymmetric strategy game. And so I looked at some things I was working on and said, okay, I'll try my hand at this. And it was a really fun design to work on because I tried my best to adopt what I think of as like Patrick's house style. So I played a lot of Vast and felt like I understood it pretty well and wanted to try to put my own little spin on that design. And then I ended up doing all the design work and a lot of the development work on the first two, so Root and then the expansion. And then for this expansion, Patrick and I had a fun little role reversal. You know, when I was working on Root, I would pitch ideas to Patrick and then he would always give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down. And now he does that to me a little bit and it's been really fun. It's also been great because we're a small studio and we do all of everything we can do in-house, we do in-house. This expansion is primarily designed by Patrick and then our wonderful graphic designer, Nick Brockman, is doing the primary development. And then I'm kind of like overseeing and then dropping in when they need me.
So tell me a little bit about the development of this expansion, how that's been going, and how did that process work?
Well, it's a funny thing. So originally, I hadn't wanted any expansions for the game, mostly because we had spent the better part of a year working on it. I was exhausted. I felt like I had put every idea I had in route. And then a weird thing happened. So this happens a lot in publishing where you send the files off to the factory and you've been playing maybe 100, 200 games. And then you can't do anything for about 3 or 4 months. And so you're sort of like forced into exile on your own design. And then when you come back to it, sometimes there's this second wind. And that definitely happened with Root. And we were kind of playing in the office. And then at the same time, fans were submitting factions. We have, at this point, something like 50 factions that have been submitted to us, tons of maps. And we were working very hard on a game called Vast the Mysterious Manor, which we were seeing through the end of development at this time. And so I was up to my ears in work with that game. And Patrick said, you know, I know you don't want to work on Root right now. Can I make a fan faction? We're not going to publish it, maybe. I'm just going to fiddle. And so Patrick just started fiddling. And then, you know, as he started getting into it and as the game started being received really well, he eventually wrote me in. I got to see a little bit of what he was playing, and I was really taken by it. Both of the new factions are fresh and kind of weird. And as we started looking at our production schedule for the next year, bundling all of this Root content seemed like an obvious place. And so there's a bunch of other kind of like related Root stuff that we're going to kind of present with this expansion.
So this new expansion also comes with some maps. Can you tell us how those differ from what is already in the game, and what are some new things that we'll see?
So the map for Woodland, let me restart that. It's just there's so many, you have to say the word forest 30 times when you talk about Root sometimes. So the core two maps for Root they're interesting. So the standard map, the map everyone plays on, is a very asymmetric map. It doesn't look like it until you really start looking at how the clearings are set up, but it's really quite different. And when you start getting players who are a little better and they pick different corners to start, each corner has a really different character. And then on the reverse side of that board, we did a bit of an experiment where we just cut down the number of connections. And we also took away the suits so that, you know, there was a different kind of variability. So while the board itself,
I call it the winter side.
right. Well, you know, and we've kind of adopted a similar kind of term for it. Think about it as the fall side and the winter side. So the winter side is a little more symmetrical, but because you randomize the clearings, it has a really wide variance. So with the new map, again, Patrick did the initial design on these, and they're going through kind of like final development right now. They're both interesting. So there are two new maps, a mountain map and a lake map, which we call spring and summer. The spring map, so this is the mountain map, is very tight and is sort of like built around control of this mountain pass. But over the course of the game, the players can dig tunnels. And so the map starts very restrictive and then becomes more open. And then on the summer map, the map is situated around a really large lake. And there's a barge that the players can control to move through the lake. And then if the Riverfolk Company is in play, they just control the barge. And it adds like some really interesting, the lake side of the maps is a lot more of a negotiation game in terms of who's controlling movement. And both of those maps are going to be presented without suits, so that you can randomize the different clearings on them.
We've really enjoyed playing the base game Root, and as you know, it won the Tantrum House Board Game of the Year in 2018, and we've just really had fun with it, and we appreciate you even being on the show a couple months ago.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. It was a funny thing because I was really looking forward to that that talk, and we were really grateful to be featured. You know, it's a strange thing. Everyone at the studio makes games that we love. And so sometimes when you do that, you forget about awards and you forget about the fact that like you might be making a game that a lot of people are going to really enjoy. And it's been wonderful to see the game resonate so deeply with the audience.
Yeah, well, congratulations again. And so for our listening audience, tell us when the Kickstarter campaign launches, about how long it's going to be, and any more information you want to talk about the campaign itself.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So Root, the Underworld expansion, launches this Thursday. We launch in the morning on Central U.S. time. The core pledge is $50. And if anybody was around for the first Root Kickstarter, for any of our Kickstarters, you know that we treat our backers right. Like, we all have full-time jobs because of our backers. So You will get tons of stuff for free. And if you don't get it, you will have to wait in line at Gen Con with all the other people who forgot to back the Kickstarter. It's a short campaign. We're only running from Thursday until April 2nd. So we're basically taking it through South by Southwest to the end of PAX East. So That's the end of the window.
So our podcast won't be going live until Monday, March 18th. So I think when you're listening to this, folks, this is already live because this campaign starts March 14th. Is that right, Cole?
That's right.
Yep. So you only have a few weeks, so get on it. And if you haven't backed the first, if you never backed the base game, then get Root and get this expansion because you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, and I will say that all previous Root stuff you can get as add-ons on the campaign. We're timing a new big print run with this campaign, so anything you want to get that's Root-related, you'll be able to get at the campaign.
Cool. Well, thanks again for joining us, Cole. One question for you. What have you been playing recently other than Games for Leader Games?
Oh, what a tricky question. I have really been enjoying Wingspan, which I feel like the whole world is playing. but it's sort of fun. So normally the games I play are really wonkish, weird games that no one likes. But with Wingspan, it's been really enjoyable to play the game that everyone else is playing and have opinions about it. Yeah, so I encourage folks to check it out if they can find a copy.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we really enjoy it. If you can find a copy, hopefully there'll be more copies in the next few months available in retail. But we really appreciate you being on the show today, Cole, and look forward to the successful campaign of the Underworld expansion to Root. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Well, hello, and welcome to the show. Are we to that part? Is that
Will? You're here.
Hey, guys.
It was great having Cole on the show, but we're glad that Will is back from his meeting.
I made it back. Thanks, Cole, for buying me time so I can make it back. So you guys have wrapped up the entire show, pretty much, sounds like.
Yeah, just a couple things to talk about at the end here.
Are we talking about your cruise?
That's right. We saved it for the end.
Ooh,
cool. All the ups and downs.
Did you experience some of those?
Yes, Kevin and I actually just made it back today, Monday. We were supposed to fly back on Saturday, but our flight got canceled, and then we had to wait 2 days.
Yeah, no flights until Monday.
That explains it, because I was going to say you look refreshed and tanned, but really you're just like really tired and exhausted.
And sunburned.
Ooh, there it is. Ooh, yes. Nice.
The nice thing is that Melissa has family in Fort Lauderdale, where the boat came
back to port,
and they actually took us out on some of the canals and waterways.
They took us in for the few nights that we were staying.
You were homeless. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we were able to go on a small boat to.
So real quick, we're going to talk a little bit about where we went and some of the games that we played on the cruise ship.
Oh, so this wasn't a board game cruise.
No.
Nope.
But you made it into a board game.
That's right. This is a family cruise to the Caribbean. And the specific places that we went are port of calls, as they would say. We did the Grand Cayman Islands. Then we went to Belize. Then we went to Roatan. No, we did
Roatan, then Belize.
And then our last stop was in Cozumel, Mexico.
Ooh, cool.
So.
Yes.
We visited a couple of those in the past. Yeah. We really enjoyed Cozumel. What was you guys' experience?
Our favorite was Roatan.
Yeah, okay. We haven't been there. That wasn't on our itinerary.
Yes, yeah, so we went to, and I'm going to slaughter the name, something like the Goombalaya.
It's where Park. Mario makes his Goombas for.
What? You got to see that?
Yeah, Goombalaya Island.
It's actually a nature like preserve island.
You guys probably really like it because they have this huge zip line.
Ooh.
We didn't go on. But what we did do there is they have monkeys and parrots and macaws and other birds and things like that there, where you actually can like hold them and they actually like jump on you.
Oh, cool.
Like there was this one spot where there was 28 different, like, think of the monkey from Friends.
I was actually just having this terrible thought of you being on a zip line, like getting hit in the face with birds. But that was a different picture.
This is like Wingspan Nightmare.
Right.
Or the monkey from Night at the Museum.
Okay, right. So the
cute little, yeah.
They have like less than 10 pounds, but they're jumping all over the place. And
so it's like you cross this like swaying rope bridge into monkey town.
And it was like a 200, cool. Was this 200 feet? 150 to 200 feet walking bridge.
Oh, wow. Up high or length. What are we talking about?
Length.
Okay.
But still up high.
Okay.
Over like this river.
Cool.
So
to get to the
preserve gardens. Yes.
Awesome.
And then they put the McCalls. They put like 4 McCalls on you one time. And they said, by the way, if you have any buttons or any like earrings, like they'll like pick them off.
Rip them off of your phone.
Yeah. So they said, make sure you take your earrings out if they're like dangly earrings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you have buttons, like they'll just pluck one button out.
The birds.
And we saw it happen to
the guy. And we saw it happen to the guy. He had like this Tommy Bahama shirt. And it was like, and then we saw it happen and we're like, oh, there it goes.
That's funny.
But the funny thing is the tourist guide said, the number one death of birds. No. Okay. Even though it's like 4 birds, they will only take one button.
Huh?
Yeah. And he did. They one bird just went and took one button. And there's all these buttons where the people were standing. It was pretty funny.
Oh, wow.
They train them. You know they train them.
I know.
Good job, good pet bird.
That sounds like a niche theme for a game, though. Now you need to do this thing. Ooh. Where your birds collecting buttons.
That's an expansion of
Birds
Wingspan.
And buttons.
Wingspan plus patchwork. Yeah. There it is.
That's hilarious.
There it is. But we had a good cruise all together and got through the different ports fine and just had a good time, of course, eating too much.
Oh, so much food.
Yeah. So
and good time with family, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's good awesome. Time with family.
And you played some board games?
We played some board games. So I brought my quiver that I got a year or two ago and put probably like 15 to 20 games in there, all card games. One of our favorite ones that we have to play, though, well, I'll get to that in just a second. We had like For Sale, which is a good sort of betting type game. Mm-hmm. We played Herbaceous.
Yeah, and we were there with my brother and his wife and my parents, so there were 6 of us. So we were trying to find
pretty
games that could play 6 or 4, mm-hmm. you know, if
four
my parents didn't want to join in.
So we played Herbaceous, we played Diamonds, which plays 6 mm-hmm. from Stronghold. One of the favorite ones, we brought Hobbit Love Letter, because it was really
nice.
Quick.
Yeah, that's
so,
cool.
That was fun. But one of the favorites that we like to play as a family is Werewords from one of our sponsors, Bezier Games. And we were playing actually in one of the like wheelhouse bar because most of the bars are pretty empty during the day, mm-hmm. so and they have all the tables.
Yeah,
so
they're more like lounges.
Yeah, lounges. Yeah. And so we were playing there, and because there's like 3,000 people there and 1,000 like workers, it's like a 1-to-3 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them are just like standing around in the lounges because there's nothing really to do for
the
workers
the day,
during the day. So they're like watching us play and they're like, you know, they're international. So they're like Philippines and like, you know, Mexico and all these things. Like, and so some of the games they're like, they didn't like Diamonds is hard for them to comprehend. Some of them, but I mean, you have to explain it to them, but they were watching Werewords and they're like, one guy came out and goes, I knew exactly how to play just from watching you play.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
That's fun.
And he's like, I really want to know, like, what's the name of that game? I was like, oh, it's Werewords, but it's W-E-R-E words. And so we showed him a picture and I was like, I have a Tantrum House card.
Spreading the love.
So I spread the love to a guy in the Philippines and he said he has a daughter?
Son.
Son who is about 6 years old that loves board games.
Oh, cool.
And he wants to buy him Werewords.
Awesome.
And it was kind of cool. We actually left that lounge, came back like later that night. He was still there. We had dropped a piece, like a board game piece, like on the floor, and he's like, this is yours.
Are you saved awesome. It. Way to go. Connecting with the people.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's see. We also played Harry Potter Codenames quite a few times.
Yeah, Harry Potter Codenames quite a few times.
My parents don't really know much about Harry Potter, but
Melissa pulled it out.
Yeah?
Able to give
with
them
your
clues
team?
That... they were able to figure out.
That is the key. That's hilarious.
Well, and there's one more thing that we did, which was actually put on by the cruise ship.
It was called the High Seas Heist.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so like it's basically this murder mystery.
On the ship?
On the ship. It was a murder mystery.
For the whole week.
For the that's whole cool. week. Nice. And, but it wasn't murder. It was a heist. Like someone, basically there was, the story was there was this collar of Azucena, which is
And
these,
we're not going to give any spoilers just in case anyone else goes on.
Really? Fine.
And it was fun.
And it was.
So there was a robbery.
There was a robbery of the jewel of the necklace, and it was our job to figure out the suspect who stole it.
So they gave us an evidence pack, and then on their like show that they do in the morning, they would have more clues. Mm-hmm.
And then we'd have check-ins to like every day, and you have to go and like turn in this crossword puzzle, and they would give you more like clues and more information about like there was this like, oh, here's like a picture of the girl that was wearing the necklace and some of her like
injuries
and things like that. So they would give you more stuff throughout the cruise.
That's interesting. So. Did you know that before you got on the cruise?
No, no idea this was happening.
So it wasn't like a theme cruise. No. It was just a random activity
and
you could do.
It was in conjunction with Discovery. Mm-hmm.
Joe Kenda is like Discovery Channel like detective or something like that.
Oh, like Homicide. A TV thing.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. And he actually had like a spot on every like segment. Show segment. Uh-huh. That was pretty cool.
That is interesting.
He did a good job.
So we figured it out.
Oh, no. Yeah. But we as a team figured it out. And the last thing said who stole the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to write our whole synopsis about, like, this person did it in this way, and this is how they did it, and blah, 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 blah. And here's, like, all the details that we knew.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, no, just put the one person. I was like, okay. So we'd put the one person in. And we
then they broke the tie, and
we turn it in, and they're like, at the end, they said, "Oh no, you needed to have the two people that were like working together,
which we knew, but we just didn't write down."
That's
hilarious. Kevin was
disqualified. You did everybody who won got a prize, or
everyone that won got a prize?
They were
two people won.
Two took the time to write it all down. That's terrible. So I think we obviously all at this moment need to consider what Tantrum Con Cruise 2021 is going to be like.
That's right. High seas, high seas.
Yeah. How great would that be?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. What kind of great games will we have at
TantrumCon 2020? Oh, a cruise? There'll be a scavenger hunt, and we'll flip tables off the side of the boat. And
will there be any interesting games?
You mean dragon interesting?
Oh, wow. Way to
nice
pull that
tie-in,
one.
Ryan.
Way to pull that one in.
Yeah, I did play a game tonight. That was really fun. Thanks for asking. Dragon's Interest was cool. Have you guys played that one? Who played that with us? Just me and Sarah?
It was me and Liam.
And Liam. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Liam won.
He kicked our butts, actually. I kind of didn't understand all the rules and threw it at the end.
So this is a game that's coming back to Kickstarter, like in a...
Yeah, I think they started to fund and they canceled it real quick for some technical reasons. Okay. And then I think we're putting together a review of it.
We are, yeah.
So that'll be on our channel soon. But
we're going to relaunch it.
Yeah, we were just playing it yesterday or the other day. It was pretty cool. It's like you owe the dragon a bunch of money. Did we talk about this in a previous
description?
Yeah. Yeah. So
we talked about the whole thing, but you actually got to play it now.
Yeah, we actually got to play it several times through.
The experience was cool.
It was good, yeah. Okay. At first, I really didn't like one of the mechanics. You, in the game, the biggest part of the game is you, every turn, have to decide if you want to take one of your available actions, which is basically collect a couple coins or collect a couple knights. In order to collect it, you have to then put either money or knights into the box, into the treasure chest, which is, we got the prototype version, but the real one looks like a cool little magnet clasp looking thing. And then you hand it to somebody else and you say, I'm offering you this much money for that tile.
Okay.
And if they accept it, they take your money and you get the tile. If they don't want to accept it though, then they can put a matching amount of money or knights into the box and then they can have any one of your tiles.
Oh, wow.
I was like, are you kidding me? This is a terrible deal. I'm just going to pass. I don't even want you to have an opportunity to steal my awesome stack of yellow tiles. But as the game goes on, you start running out of
meeples
and coins. And so people start making offers to you and you can't resist them. Like if you can't pay the matching amount back to them, you have to get them.
The game.
So I held out for a really long time, had a huge stack of building tiles, is what you're collecting, you're building a town, and I was like crushing them point-wise, but then...
And then he ran out of money and knights, and so Liam and I were like, oh,
no,
we're
taking... It had nothing to do with that, it was that the dragon, every turn, moves one stack of tiles, and then you have to pay interest on any
contracts
you have to him, and I was like totally good for the next three turns, but... there are some action cards that pop up, and when they do, it'll cause the dragon to jump like two or three color tiles, nice. And then you have to pay interest on all of them.
Woo! And Will's kingdom burned to the ground.
So I went from like trashing them to all of a sudden, random turn, I owe interest on three buildings. Shoot, I just lost.
Yep. So there's Liam
some nice,
won.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. There's some nice chicken elements in it, like how far do you push it? There's the bidding portion, which is nice. There's a lot of cool stuff going on, and table presence is really nice on it. Like, it's got kind of a radial thing in the middle. Everybody's got player shields. Everything is really pretty in it. Yeah. It was cool.
You know what? I just got an email from Lance, who works with Tasty Venture Games. Mm-hmm. He said it's going to relaunch March 18th. Perfect week.
Yeah.
What? So there it is.
Good timing. Right. And it worked out.
There it is.
Do we have anything else Kickstarter related we should talk about?
Yes, we do.
Oh.
We promised our listeners that every week we would talk about some promo cards or something that has to do with our Tantrum House Kickstarter Season 6, which is launching April 2nd. We just saw something really cool.
I know.
Or some things, I should say.
Six things that were really cool.
Yeah.
For Endangered, is that the right game?
Yes.
Yep.
Coming from Grand Gamers Guild, their new game that's coming out. I think you guys played it tonight
we
while
did
I
play
had
it
walked
tonight.
Away.
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, super talking. But they are working with us to put together some ambassador cards that are going to go into the game. Mm-hmm. And each one is an illustration of one of us.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Did you guys get to see them all? Did you see yours?
I did. I saw them and the first one was me, and I didn't recognize myself at all.
I saw
was like,
you.
Oh, there's like everybody from Tantrum House and whoever this guy is. Like, oh, okay, so that's me.
I saw you.
There must be like a self-awareness thing that
there
we have. Because I scrolled through them and thought, this looks like everybody else, spot on. Except for me, I don't look like that.
I saw Will. Will was just a little bulky. Like, he was bulked up.
I beefed up a little. He was like, that's a good thing.
He was on a cruise eating too much.
Yeah. As a bodyguard, it looked awesome.
I thought the artwork looked really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and it's not done. That was just
right,
a sketch.
Rough sketches, but they definitely look like us. It was very cool. I think they're going to put us maybe in our player colors, our favorite player colors or something.
I
know I'm in blue. That's all I know. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. So you can check that out. Our Kickstarter launching in just a few weeks. How's that Kickstarter page coming?
You're
going to
ask that. Oh, it's so soon. I should probably start on that, huh?
Wow.
I think Endangered launches same day.
The same
or,
day.
Yeah.
So it's going to be some cross-promotion going
cool,
on.
Yeah,
and I think we're going to have Mark on the show again talking about
Endangered.
Yeah,
he'll be on in a couple weeks.
Yep.
Awesome. Just knocking games out left and right.
Yep.
Well, very cool. I think we had a lot of fun. I know you guys look like you had fun. I just got here, but I'm glad I could join the end of the party. And looking forward to a bunch of new games this week. I know that I saw a giant stack that came in the mail.
I know.
Giant
so we got
stack.
A lot to play and a lot to preview and review. And I apparently have a lot of work to do on our Kickstarter. So we'll get jumping on that. But thanks you guys for joining us, and we will catch you all next time.
Bye! Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss...
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The Toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.